The following Daf Yomi consists of several parts. Begins with the Daf Yomi recorded today, continues on with a quick review that allows you to go over the entire Daf in just 5 minutes, and then concludes with the last cycle's Daf Yomi, which you may enjoy more simply because there are different participants, has a different ambience. Enjoy! Today's Daf in Masechet Menachot is Daf Tzadik Vav, and we are holding at the command of the hour at the Mishnah, the Halakha Mishnah on the fifth line. Continuing on now with the dinim of the various specialized Menachot, after having discussed the Shtei Alechem and Alechem Apanim, are the Chavitei Kohen Gadol. The Chavitei Kohen Gadol are very special. We have additional oil in them, and we also split them between the Boker and the Ben Arbaim. And the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, Lushatan V'Arichatan V'Afiatan Bifnim. Everything that was done with the Chavitei Kohen Gadol was done in the Kesharet Bifnim, including even the kneading of the dough, and the braiding, setting things up. And therefore, the Dochet HaShabbos, as we saw, because anything that is done Bifnim cannot be done earlier because it will be Nifsal Belina. And therefore, these two things are interrelated. As we proved yesterday, we had no way to explain away the contradiction in the Mishnah, because if in yesterday's Mishnah, if something required Pnim, then by definition, it would have to be Dochet HaShabbat. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kol Melacha She'efshar La'asotah Mi'Erev Shabbat Eina Dochet HaShabbat, V'She'i Efshar La'asotah Mi'Erev Shabbat Dochet HaShabbat. So this is why the Trinatan V'Akadatan Eino Dochet HaShabbat. What's wrong with doing the grinding of the flour, the sifting of the flour before Shabbat? So the general rule is, this is a rule that's applied not only in these types of specific halachas, the Gabi Hegdesh, but Bechlal, various all over, where we have any reason to be Dochet, it's only where it couldn't have been done earlier. This is exactly a perfect example. If you did it any earlier, you wouldn't be able to use it the next day, because it would be Nifsal Belina. And therefore, since it has to be done in a Klisha, right, it has to be done for Shabbat, because it's impossible to do it before. Kol HaMenachot Yesh Be'em Ma'aseh Kli Bifnim Ve'in Be'em Ma'aseh Kli Bachutz. All of the cases that we've been discussing in which we do certain things Bifnim, certain things Bachutz. So we had cases where we do Lisha V'Aricha Bachutz, we have to do Afiya Bifnim. Other cases we can do everything Bifnim, we have to do everything Bifnim, such as what we just had. Anything that is done Bifnim is done in a Kli. And that Kli is a Kli Sharet. So first of all, that means it's not on a flat board. It means it's in a container. And it means that it's Bikudash, and therefore it will cause it to be Kodesh B'Kodesh Yaguf, which will parcel it. But things that are done outside, like we talked about, the Lisha V'Aricha, in the dinim of the Shtei Alechem and Alechem HaPanim, that does not require Kli, and therefore does not require Kli Sharet, and therefore can be done before Shabbat. Now getting on to the details of the Lechem that we've been discussing, the specialized Lechem. Now, the Shtei Alechem, the Shtei Alechem were Shiva Tvachim long, which is quite a large size Lechem. It's about 70 centimeters or so, according to the Chazon Ish. Yeah, supposing we cut it down a little bit. Maybe they weren't machmer like Chazon Ish. But, almost. And they were also four tvachim wide. The karnotehen, and what exactly that is, we'll speak in a moment, but their corners were four etzba'ot. Now Rashi understands that to mean an additional piece, to mean literally a keren, like you had in the Mizbeach, you had the additional amal that was sticking up on your side, and therefore it would mean that the lechem that we've been speaking about until now, with the Teva Perutza and all of that, we were ignoring one particular part of it, and that was that there needed to be actual horns, so to speak, pieces sticking out that were added to it on the edges. And we'll see that they actually didn't increase the height because they were bent inwards. Rambam understands the word Karen, which creates problems later on in the Sugya. He understands Karen to mean the corner, in which case it's simply a measurement of the thickness of the challah. That's why we use Karen on the Mizbeach often. Karnat HaMizbeach could be the entire area on the side, all the way down. That's how he understands it. According to him, it's referring to the height of the lechem, the thickness of the lechem. No, we will be. But at this point, we're talking about Sheir Lechem. We'll be talking about the lechem aponim, the measurements, but it's the same idea, kind of top there and here. No, but the horns would be the same shape. The addition, assuming that the sunshine. This is the Sheir Lechem. The lechem aponim also had the same thing, but the measurements were different. So the lechem aponim was 10 tvachim, which is close to a meter long. And Rochoban Chamishat Tvachim, 5 Tvachim wide, and the Karanot was Sheva Etzbaot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, just in order that you don't forget, Shalot Yit'eh, just remember Zadad Yahaz, and then all of a sudden smoke pours out and the genie comes right out. And that way you'll know that you had the measurements of 7 by, meaning the 7 Tvachim of the Shtei Alechem, the length, the 4 Tvachim of the width, and the 4 Tvachim of the Keren, that's the Zadad, and the Yahaz is the same measurements of length with Keren for the Lechem Aponim. Ben Zoma Omer, V'natata al HaShulchan Lechem Panim Lefanai Tamid, just the point, I'm not arguing, he's just pointing out to the Muslim, the Pasuk, that it's called Lechem Panim Shiyu Lo Pinim. It has to have many sides to it, faces to it, or corners on it, depending how you learn it. Some learn penim, it has to be have something inside of it. That's where we were talking about before. What is the inside part? The Teva Prutzer is the inside of the kayak, or the place where we're talking about the place to hold the Bezicha Levona, which we're going to be getting to later. But it means it has an inside defined by sides. So, again, this is just a remez to why we have these complicated shapes over here with the Lechem Aponim. Where's the remez in the Pasuk for it? He's simply bringing the remez. Now, when you take this Lechem and you set it down on the Shulchan, let's figure out where it goes. The Shulchan itself was 10 Tvachim long, and it was 5 Tvachim wide. Now, you'll notice that it means that we're measuring, we're defining the shear over here of the Amma and Amatayim with 5 Tvachim, so that it becomes now 10 Tvachim if it's Amatayim, and it becomes 5 Tvachim if it's Amma, because that's what it is, Amatayim Orko, and the Amma Rochobo. Usually, we actually measure it by 6. So that means that we're learning over here, and this is a machloket, as we'll see, that the Amma with which the Torah measures Kelim as opposed to buildings was 5 Tvachim instead of 6 Tvachim, which would be the standard Amma. This is really a machloket. In a moment we'll see the other Shita. And if that's the case, where do we put the Lechem? Well, we take the Lechem HaPanim. The Lechem HaPanim was 10 Tvachim long and 5 Tvachim wide. Now obviously we're not going to be able to set it down on the Shulchan with those measurements, because we have 2 ma'arachot of the lechem, 6 plus 6, there's nowhere to put it. The Shulchan itself is only 10 tvachim long. So how do we set it down? Well, what we do is, notin or ko keneged rochbo shel shulchan. We take the width, which was 5, set it across 5 of the 10 of the length of the Shulchan, which of course has 2.5 sticking out on either side over the air. But that 2.5 was the part that we bent up. Actually, we baked it that way, of course, but we're talking about it as if we bend it afterward just to get the sense of how it fits on the Shulchan. So we bend up the sides, which gives us 2.5 tvachim on each side, which lifts the next lechem of the Ma'aracha, which is put on top of that one, up from the body of the Shulchan by 2.5 tvachim. If we multiply that times 6, we're going to have 15 tvachim high over the top of the Shulchan, all of which has to be mikudash with the Shulchan, by the Shulchan's kedusha, which means that the airspace of the Shulchan, we pointed this out earlier, twice already we had it, is mikudash all the way up, according to this shita, to 15 tvachim high. Nimtza orko mimale rochbo shel shulchan, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, if we put two of the lechems, and each one had six altogether, we pile up another five on top of the two that we put down, we basically have left absolutely no space at all on the shulchan. Because with the whole shulchan is only 10, and we put two lechem, the width-wise, five and five, there's no space between them. Rabbi Meir Omer, no, this is not so. We measure the shulchan with the amma of six vachim, in which case the amatayim would be 12, and the amma would be six. Now, the lechem haponim, on the other hand, and that I agree with you, it was 10 by five. I also agree with you, of course, that we take the five, put it across the lengthwise on the shulchan. Of course, I disagree with you about how much is going to be sticking out in the air, because according to me, it was six, which gives us only two on either side to equal the four, the missing four, the six plus two plus two is 10. So it was only two that we had to bend upwards, not two and a half. Again, figuratively speaking, we bake it this way. And then if you realize what that gives you is you've got two tvachim in the middle of the shulchan that don't have anything on them. So that allows for air to circulate between the two ma'arachot. We're very careful about the air, remember, because we made these kanim, we wanted to make sure that it wouldn't be mitapesh. So you have tvachayim mikan, so, and tvachayim mikan, which leaves you tvachayim revach be'emtza, because each one was 5 equals 10, and yet we have a total of 12, which was the 4, the 6 times the 2. And this way, kadesh te haruach min hashevet be'em. Baba Shalom, Eric, well, you're forgetting that Shamayah noten shnei bezichei levona. Also, you would set down the bezichei levona in that space. And the way Rabbi Yehuda was learning it, there was no space for the bezichei levona on the actual shulchan. So Shamayah noten shnei bezichei levona shelechem apanim. Amrulo, so they said to Abba Shaul, how can you say that we put the bezichei levona on the table? It says beferush, hare kvar ne'emar, v'natata al hama'arechet levona zaka. So that means that it ought to be on top. Actually, we had asked that when we originally were talking about the size of the lechem, or the shape, rather, of the lechem. We asked, if you hold that it's keteva prutza, then it fits, but if you hold that it's a svina meraketet, it doesn't fit, because there's no flat surface. We had to explain that you make a little place for the bezichei levona in the lechem. But, I mean, clearly, we were not learning like Abba Shaul. We were learning that it was on the actual ma'arechet. On the ma'arechet, on the six chalot, meaning on top of the six chalot. We put them bezich.
Not necessarily the stand of it, the ma'arechet?
No, ma'arechet is the system. It's the structure. If you build the, it's like the ma'arechet on the mizbeach, where you put the eights, and the eights is carefully structured. And you put them, that's called the ma'arechet. Here to the ma'arechet is the structure of the entirety, including the lechem that's on it. And that would mean it should be on top. And you're saying that it's on the shulchan. Amar lam zisat adam. Oh, I mean, that's a pretty naive translation of the word v'alav. I mean, it also says v'alav mateh menashe, which I assume means that we take mateh menashe and we put them all on top of the other shvatim. Or obviously, alav means up to, up against. That doesn't mean it's on top of in terms of gravity to decide what's top, what's the bottom. I mean, that's not the issue. So when it says alav, it means ala ma'arechet, right next to ma'arechet, but in the empty space of the two tvachim that was left on the shulchan. Now, continuing on, we also had the arba asnifim shel zahav yusham. Don't forget that each one of the ma'arechot, the two marachot, each one had a snif that supported it, one on one side, one on the other side, giving you a total of four snifim. We had the machloket earlier whether those snifim actually stood on the ground or whether they stood on the shulchan. That depended on the shape of the lechem. If the lechem was shaped as a kayak, that gave you space for the snif to actually be on the shulchan itself. If it was shaped like a teva, then there was no room at all to support anything on the shulchan, and it would have to stand on the ground right next to the shulchan. And these snifim were mefutzalim mirashayim, the upper part, this makes most sense, the upper part, in the case that they were standing on the ground.
Because it was really the upper part that had the pitsulim, which were the little indents or pegs. I really think that Rashi's learning both. It's as if you took a piece and bent it downward, leaving a little hole, plus the piece that sticks out, so to speak. I mean, obviously it's made out of wood. You can't literally do that. But it was something that you could insert the kone, and it was both in the wood but sitting on the wood when it was sticking out, because he uses different words at different points. And it doesn't make sense to say miroshehem, which would mean all the way on top. Clearly it can't mean all the way on top. It would have to be fitting if we understand these to be the places where we held the kanim, which almost everybody understands it that way. Then it means on its upper section. So if it's standing on the ground, the upper section would be starting from above the top of the first lechem, because the bottom lechem was on the actual shulchan. So then you have, really, most of the snif doesn't have anything on it. Rosh Hashanah would mean from above the top, the lowest lechem. And the truth is that even if we understand it's talking about that it was on the shulchan itself, we could say Rosh Hashanah is just to exclude the bottom lechem. In other words, starting not from the bottom, it was mefutzal. And the point of the pitsulim was shahaya somchidehem. We would actually use now these snifim, first of all, for smicha up against shnayim b'seders, never shnayim b'seders, plus we would be somech with the pitzulim in the snifim, the chof chet kanim, we had 28 total of these golden straws, or half straws, each one being kechatzi kaneh alu, we would slice it down like a straw, made out of gold, sliced down the middle. So it was a semicircle, and that was to allow the air to circulate between the lechamim, and we needed 14 for Seder Zeh and 14 for Seder Zeh, and that's simply because the bottom challah didn't have any chanim, it was sitting directly on top of the shulchan itself. But then the next four challot all were sitting on top of the three kanim, if you'll remember. That's where we were wondering, where the heck are we going to put it, if it was like a svina meraketet. So that gives us 12. The upper challah didn't require, being as there wasn't all that much weight, obviously, on it, it didn't require much to be between it and the challah beneath it, so we only used two kanim. Gives us 14. The other Seder, of course, also used the 14 as a total of 28. Now, the truth is that this is sort of like binyan. I mean, maybe it's only Drabonon, there's Ein Binyan Bekalim, but in any event, why should we do this on Shabbat? Since according to the rule that anything that could be done before Shabbat or after Shabbat is not going to be done for the Shabbat, there is no need for this to be done. It's not as if keeping the lechem for a little bit of time without kanim is going to cause any harm. It's only on the long term, because we're looking at the ma'arach, as somebody's going to sit there for a week or more. There's times when it sat there for quite a long time. And therefore, what we would do, since it's not Dovah Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Cohen would go in and slip out the kanim, so he wouldn't have to take it all apart on Shabbos, and set them down. And then he would be shomto, v'notanolo choshel shulchan, and would put it on the shulchan, if we hold it, that there was space. If not, it means on the floor, under the shulchan. And kol hakelim shayu b'migdash orkan, of course this was also true about the sidur, that they would just put the chalechem down, and then after Shabbos would come back in and slit in the kanim. We're going to see that the challah was actually arranged in such a way that it had grooves in it that partially took up the space of the kanim. It's not as if you needed to lift up all the challahs. You'd insert the kanim, the kanim would lift it up a little bit, not the entire height of the kanim itself. Most of the kanim itself was actually absorbed into the groove of the challah. So it didn't really change very much the total height of the ma'arechet. Says the Gemara, Kol ha-menachot, we said here, yesh b'maaseh kli bifnim. Now, why would that necessarily be true? We could certainly understand that where we're talking about, perhaps something has a lot of oil in it, that it would need to really have a container. But if you're talking about the lisha v'aricha of very, very dry menachot, I mean, why would, the Torah doesn't even specify that we need to have a lot of water even there, any water. You're talking about really a dry type of thing, which we should have a flat baker board, and we work on the flat board, and we don't need a kli. It should not necessarily be a Beit Kibul. And you're saying anything that was going to be done b'fnim, the reason it was done b'fnim was because we're using a kli, and that's a kli sharet. Now, how do I know that? Shalom et Remi. Zomi Naim, where do you get this from? Omarim from the Pasuk. Harehu Omer. We're talking about over here the tour of the third Beit HaMikdash that the engineer Malach was kind enough to give to Yechezkel. And he was showing him around various areas in the Beit HaMikdash. And they came to one place, which was the bakery. And he says to me, Vayomer Eli, Zeh makom eshe yevashlu sham hakohanim et ha'asham v'et ha'chatat ashe yofu et ha'mincha. And the reason that they do it here, the Malach is explaining to him, is levilti otzi al ha'chatzer ha'chitzona. They don't want to take this out and expose it to outside the kadesh ta'am, because this is something that's supposed to be only b'fnim, it'll be nifsa b'yotzei. You don't want to expose it either to people who are not considered to be tohor legabe kodesh, because remember the ma'alot for kedusha also, where whatever would be somebody who isn't eating kodesh, even though he's straight out of the mikveh, he's considered to be tummy. This is a ma'alot be kodesh, and therefore the ma'alot says, so we have this special room where we do all the cooking. But notice the cooking he puts together with the baking, and in the same way, therefore, says Rebbe, the way in which mincha would be doing yadosh and chatat. I mean, normally we keep bakeries separately from the cooking, the kitchen. I mean, why do we present it in this fashion to Yechezkel? To teach us something. That just like the asham and the chatat, he's talking about bishul, and therefore, by definition, tuning kli. I mean, you can't cook in a liquid, which is what bishul means, unless it has a container. That's what liquids are all about. Yep. Something, whenever anything happens to that container, something always manages to happen to the liquid. So because of that, it must be comparing the two. So just like the Ashim L'chatas, by definition, requires a kli, af min chanami tuna kli means you can't use flat boards. And therefore, the bakery and the kitchen, in a sense, are similar. Hashulchan orko asara. Amrei Yochanan, you know, what this works out to is that Ledivrei Amrei Tvachayim Amechtze Kotel, if you hold like Rebbe Yehuda, and that means that the lechem is arranged in such a way that you've got to have each one go jutting upwards to be even with the edge of the Shulchan, 2.5 Tvachim, and then you have to multiply that by 6, it turns out Nimtza that the Shulchan is Bekadesh 15 Tvachim Lamala, because you've got 6 times 2.5. But Ledivrei Omer Tvachayim, according to Rabbi Meir, who says that the Shulchan was actually 6, and the Lechem was 10, left us only 2 on either side jutting out, which was required to be baked so that it would stick upwards. So then 6 times 2, turns out that Nimtza Shulchan is only Mekadesh Yud Beit Tvachim Lamala, only 12. Wait a minute. I mean, you're being a little bit loose here. What about the kanim? I mean, you've got all between each one of the lechem. That's got to add up to quite a bit. I mean, at least the tefach. No. The kanim actually should claim mishakei alohu. The bread itself was baked with grooves, and the kanim fit into the grooves.
They took up no space.
Nah, come on, this is ridiculous. I mean, because the whole point, why did we use the kanim? I mean, we only used the kanim mishumi apushe lechem, was to avoid this having a big pile of warm bread which is going to spoil. So we want to have air that's circulating between. That was the whole point of the kanim. Now you're saying you make a groove in the lechem, which basically makes them useless. So now, sof, you're going to call me apushe lechem. The way that you're understanding it, you're not achieving anything with the kanim that are sunken into the bread. They can't just protect the area of the kanim, right? No, it means, of course, the magadulu purta. I mean, it means that it lifts it up just enough to have air circulating it, but not the entire height of the kanim.
Wasn't for support as well? Just the kanim was support?
Yes, but the shape of the kanim that it was chatzi was also for air. But now you're not taking care of the air. So you haven't helped the issue. I'm asking you that you're not giving me the correct height, and you're telling me there wasn't any height. So then when I press you to the wall, you say, well, there was a little height. Okay, so let's discuss the little height. So what about the little height? You didn't give me the measurement of the little height. You're telling me 12 or 15, and it's not 12 or 15. Okay, but that's, since we're dealing with tefachim, I mean, if the little bit didn't equal an additional tefach, I'm not going to mention it. So, given the law, have a tefach, lo chashiv lei. Admittedly, this is not exact, the measurement that I'm giving you. It's rounded off to the nearest tefach, which is fine. But you haven't discussed the bezichin. What about the bezichin? If we understand the bezichin not to be placed directly on the shulchan, which is what we were arguing in the Mishnah, that it means ala ma'arechet, I mean, you know, that's what the Chachomim felt, even though they couldn't afford it from the Pasuk, and Abishol insisted otherwise, but the truth is that, as we saw earlier, we were pretty much committed to putting it directly on top of the ma'arechet, if we could. Doesn't that add a lot of space? No, because the bezich was inside of the space of the lechem. And that was, whether it was Teva Brutza or Svina Merakedet, where we'd have to make the space, but in any event, there definitely was space for the bezichin that didn't have to go above the lechem at all. Ulebahade lechem avekaim, and therefore was at the same height, the top of the bezich was the same height of the lechem. Rashi is very troubled with this because he says, why in the world would we mention the height of the bezich? We're not talking about how high things were. We're talking about how high the shulchan has to be mekadesh. Since when does the shulchan have to mekadesh the bezich? The bezich is the thing that's mekadesh the levana. So, I mean, maybe the bezich was another 100 feet high. What do I care? We're not coming to discuss how high the shulchan was. So Tosfos says that that is not a very good question, because the siluk bezichin is considered to be knitza. If you're misalik the bezichin, it means that the, just like the knitza is in the kli with the mincha, then the bezich is on the kli with the mincha in this case being the lechem apanim, and that means that the shulchan has to contain the bezich and the lechem, so that when you remove the bezich, you're doing knitza from the kli, namely the shulchan, that's holding both the levona and the mincha. Remember, this entire ma'arechet is an abstraction of the concept of a typical mincha. So, of course, the shulchan has to be mekadesh, because otherwise you wouldn't have a kosher kmitza. Abstract kmitza. And therefore, the Gemara takes for granted that we'd be including in the level of kedusha of the shulchan whatever it would take to be mekadesh the bezich. So we have to have that bezich inserted into the bread. No, it's a kli. We're going to discuss the special case of the shulchan as kli. As was what we just actually, this Mishnah has a whole undercurrent of kli. You don't notice what defines as kli, and the Gemara is going to be getting into that in detail, actually. Now, the question is, you haven't addressed the problem of the additional pieces that were attached, or the kranot, or ikar kranot. Here is why Rashi's approach seems to be the only one to take. It's also the Rambam who understands kranot as being the thickness of the bread. I mean, then that's irrelevant. I mean, the thickness of the bread, i.e. the kranot. I.e. the kranot is much, we've got something additional. And that addition is going to be lifting the bread higher. You didn't include that. You only included the actual measurement of the 10 tefachim of the bread. No. That was actually bent over. And the kranot legave de lechem kayif lohu, which means that we really had simplified a little bit the shapes, because we weren't including the bending over of the top into the lechem. So that means that it wasn't just a simple box. It was a box that had little pieces on the edges that were bent into tabs, so to speak, extending up on the side of the box. And those tabs were pressed in.
Now it's less than 2 or 2.5?
No, only the tab was pressed in. Do we have any pictures?
Right, I understand. So the height is after it's been tabbed?
The height is after the tabs have been bent. This is a somewhat Uncle Art picture. So, and I got the fancy curvaceous kranot. What's that? You don't like the shulchan? I mean, it's too modern for you.
Yeah, it's way too modern. It's like black for...
Well, it's gold. No, that's gold, man.
Exactly.
It's amazing how they're able to do a black and white picture that brings you right to Borough Park, you know? It's really special. So, I mean, even the invitations look like Borough Park. I mean, how do you do that with black and white? I think the name of the font is Borough Park. That's not a Park Avenue. So, in any event, that takes care of the problems of the Corona. So now we seem to be okay. As the Gemara, so let's just finish that word, lechem kayaflu, v'lechem alayunaya nachle. And the next lechem sits on top of that, so there really isn't much of a problem. As the Gemara book, you've forgotten about the mizgeret. Now, the Torah talks about a mysterious mizgeret. So that mizgeret is some type of a frame for the shulchan, and what we assume is that that framing is going to be along the top, which creates a little a Beit Kibul, really. So in other words, the space between, so we take a molding, and we put the molding around the top of the shulchan. That would be a mizkeret, and it's pretty big. It's all tefach. I mean, a tefach on either side of the shulchan. That is only 5 or 6, depending on how you hold Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir. I mean, basically, you're covering 2 tefachim out of 5. So, there, where'd you put the lechem? Take a look at the picture. Our assumption is that at this point, the mizgeret is similar to this figure 1. So that what we'd be looking as we look down at the top of the shulchan would not be a flat surface, but would be a sort of like a beautiful, elegant picture frame with a thick frame around it. But then, if that's what the bread is going to sit on, then that lifted up the whole ma'arech above the actual shulchan itself. There was no way for it to sit on the surface of the shulchan itself, assuming that the mizgeret is on top. Well, first of all, it's not so simple. We know that we have a whole machloket about whether the mizgeret was on top or whether the mizgeret is actually a frame on which the shulchan sits. So in other words, the shulchan was not connected to the legs underneath, but rather the legs terminated in a frame, and then the shulchan was a loose, flat surface that was placed on top of that. And therefore, there was nothing about the frame that would affect the top of the shulchan at all. And that's a machloket. What is the mizgeret?
On top of the frame or into the frame?
On the frame.
So it was a flat surface.
Flat surface on the frame, which is going to exactly what we're going to start discussing, which is the issues about flat surfaces and Kabbalah Stuma and so on, which we'll get to in a moment.
Is this mizgeret talking about? Is this the zeir?
No, that's something that is decorative.
Wasn't that also up on the edges of the shulchan?
Yeah, but that didn't take up space. That was just pretty.
It prevented the lechem
because it wasn't on the surface.
It was on the side.
And the truth is that the Gemara is going to answer that even l'man yomer mizgarta l'mala haita, that does not mean that it took up the space of the actual tabletop. Because it was perukte ave mefarkeda the lechem. It was aimed outwards, so it was therefore a frame, a molding, yes, but it was a molding that extended outwards, not extended inwards. And therefore, the lechem would not be lifted up, it would be sitting inside of the mizgeret, surrounded by the mizgeret, and this wouldn't change the height of the mizgeret. Some suggest, but and none of the Rishonim. And maybe this means the lechem was proved to have him refract. In other words, the bottom lechem was made in such a way that it would allow it to sit on top of the mizgeret without necessarily losing the rest of it sitting on top of the shulchan, and therefore it wasn't affected by the fact that there was a mizgeret.
It had an indentation?
Yeah. I mean, as I say, there's achronim that suggest this, but none of the Rishonim say that. Kitanya, I've made reference to a machloket, and I'd like to explain what that machloket is. I mean, I'm referring to the Braita, in which Rabbi Yossi says, look, there weren't any snifim. I don't know what you guys are talking about, snifim to support the lechem. We don't have snifim to support the lechem. We have the mizgeret of the shulchan itself, which is mentioned in the Torah, is ma'amedet et halechem, and that because that goes right up against it. And of course, this creates a problem, as Tosfos points out. So, what are the kishotav? Remember, it says kishotav, so kisotav, and manikiotav, and which manikiotav, the kanim, the kisotav, the sakta, the snifim. And this, what does that mean? Now, some understand that what he's saying isn't that there was no snifim at all, but that there were no snifim up against the bottom of the shulchan, the way you understood it. Because that was exactly the place that the Mizgeret was, and that would support the lechem on its own. Why would we need the snifim for the bottom lechem? So he's learning that it was on the shulchan, in other words, and it surrounded the lechem, which is why we said that it was prakabon. Omru lo, so they said to him, no, that's not true. The Mizgeret was lamata, and it was a support for the tabletop, and therefore it didn't do a darn thing for the lechem, and we would still need to have the actual snifim that were up there.
That's how it's all.
You wouldn't be caught dead with this in Borough Park, let me tell you. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Medivrei HaOmer Mizgarto L'mata Haita. If you're going to learn the way that Chachamim here argued with Rabbi Yossi, that basically what we had over here was a support frame, and on top of which you put a flat board, which is the tabletop. So then this would prove that a tabla hamitapechet, which is a reversible tile, in other words, you just have a piece of wood. It's not, you can pick it up and flip it. So that means a flippable top that's on a table is still part of a table, and it's going to be b'kabel tuma, despite the fact that it doesn't have its own beit kibul, so it's tumea. If you hold it mizgarto lamala hayda, then you have no information about a flippable tabletop. And notice that table and tabla are interestingly connected for ha-shulchan. So tabla ha-mitapechet tiboylacha, you won't know. At least you won't be able to get the information from here. Wait. You're saying that it's a given that the shulchan is a mekabel tuma. That's what you're saying. We know that the shulchan is a mekabel tuma, therefore we can use it as a model for what type of kelim is a mekabel tuma. Why is the shulchan a mekabel tuma, b'chol? Isn't it a, I mean, forget about the shape. Isn't it a kli etza asui l'nachatu? The whole kli etza asui l'nachat ain mekabel tuma, as we spoke about a number of times. If the shulchan was meant to stay in one place and wasn't moved about, and the Torah compares eight dumya de sak, so it puts together sak, which is the hair of a goat, and eight in one pasuk, to tell me that just like sak is mitaltel maleverekan, afko mitaltel maleverekan, so in the dinim of tuma, the Torah is basically telling us that unless it's something that moves about, it's not going to be makabel tuma. The shulchan was very permanently in place, at least I thought so, and therefore we have a problem. So it's okay. There's a side issue here which I just want to mention for a moment, which is that the tabla mitapechet in this case is a rather unique situation, because it doesn't necessarily mean that pshute kliyates are going to be makabel tuma just because they're part of a more extensive kli. There's another issue over here, which is that being as this top was made in this fashion, it's ro'ui for tumat midras. Somebody could sit on it, lie on it. Anything that could be makabel tuma as midras is by definition makabel other tumot. This is a rather complex sugya. But in any event, it would be mashma that from here that the shulchan is makabel tuma one way or the other. We're assuming right now that we're treating the shulchan as eights, and therefore there should be another problem, which is that it's osui lenachat, because why would we ever move it? Therefore, it's not dumya desak. So says the Gemara, not true, because as you recall, we always have that very special din of Reish Lakish. Because the Amar Reish Lakish, why does the Torah write the words Al Shulchan HaTohor Lifnei Hashem? When you write the word al shulchan tahor, then it has the implication that it is at least conceivable that it would be a shulchan tameh. I mean, otherwise, it's absurd. I mean, what you're using an adjective that has no applicability. If you use an adjective, it's got to be a choice among other possibilities. Therefore, if you tell me the shulchan tahor, it's by definition telling you the shulchan could be not tahor. Michlal, if that's the case, di'ika tameh. There's got to be such a thing as a state of tumah for this shulchan. Now, how could that be? It must, therefore, says Reish Lakish, imply that the shulchan was meant to be moved. But when would we move it? Must be, therefore, malame, shemagbino tolo le'regalim, that since the shulchan was something to show to those who came to the Beit HaMikdash, when everyone would come, and they were Torah to come in, they were mitzayer for the regal, and they would come into the Beit HaMikdash on the regal, we lifted up the shulchan, umar imbo lechem, we show everybody the lechem that is on the shulchan, v'omrim lem ru'u chibatchem lifnei hamakom, look how beloved you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi pointed out, amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, neis gadol na'asa b'lechem afanim, silu ko kesiduro. It's a tremendous miracle that the entire week the bread stayed warm. Of course, that would only be assuming that it was baked on Shabbat, according to the machloket we had. We spoke about yesterday. If it was baked before Shabbat, it wasn't warm by the time it came to Shabbat, in which case the Rishonim say the meaning of silu ko kesiduro would be fresh, not hot out of the oven, but fresh as it was on the day that you put it there. Shenemar losum lechem cham beyom hilakho. And that cham, again, could mean maybe it's hot. Maybe it's still fresh and attractive. So it doesn't necessarily mean, that's a continuation, by the way, of that same parsha of David and Achim Melech. And no, if that's what... So all of the dinim, of course, come back to there because the Shulchan is the siman of Malchut, and this is David, who is completely involved in the getter of the Shulchan. And therefore, we would show it off to them. There's a machloket Rishonim, whether this means from the distance. In other words, they could look through the door of the Heichal, and we lifted it up to show it, or we actually took the Shulchan out. So, says the Gemara, now, wait a minute. You've been talking about the Shulchan as if it's made out of wood. But it wasn't really, in the sense that it was covered with gold, right? So if it's completely covered with gold, would that not give it the din of a kli that's made of gold? So why don't we say the reason that it's the Shulchan HaTahor is not because it was a kli 8 that was lifted up and therefore not asur l'nachat, but because it wasn't a kli 8, it was a kli zahav. So typically, mishum tzipui, why don't I assume that the tumah that's implied with the word tahor is because of the gold? Milo tnan, does it not say beferush in the Mishnah that hashulchan ve'adulbaki, if you have kelim, such as a table, or you have a folding a serving set, which normally is made out of either leather, adulbaki, or wood like the shulchan, and these break, and if they get a hole in them, or you cover them, let's say, with a marble or formica, and just to make them pretty, it's like a thin strip of plastic or whatever, but you leave a hole in the covering so that in that hole you have a place where you sit down glasses, like an airline tray. You have a little place to hold the glass, or like in your car, you know, to make sure it doesn't fall over. That's cute. So if you leave a place for the kosot, then even though the covering, which is shayish, cannot be makabel tumah, since you're still using part of the kli as it was initially, the kli remains tameh, because it's a kli that can be makabel tumah. It wasn't covered with marble. Marble's not makabel tumah, it's a stone. And actual stone clay avanim are not makabel tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, well, that's not enough. Just a place for kos is not enough, because then you're not using it the way it was initially meant to be used. It was initially meant to be used to set a lot of different things on. But if you left a large enough space to be makom anachat chatichot, then that's called a shiur. Yes, then in I agree. But lo shiur, if you didn't leave a big enough place that wasn't covered, lo. Okay, but all that's irrelevant. The point is that what you see is, had it been totally covered with shayish, then it would have gotten the halacha of a clay shayish, not of the clay of whatever it was. So over here, it is totally covered, and it's totally covered with gold, and of course the impact of being covered with gold is the opposite of the impact of being covered with shayish. Covering with shayish removes tumah, but covering with gold makes it susceptible to tumah. So why are we talking about the shulchan as if it was a kli eitz? We should talk about it as if it's a kli matechet, and metal kalim, in this case gold, are makabel tumah without needing to be lifted up, without requiring metaltim olivarekam, without getting into the issue of beit kibul. All kalim of matechet are makabel tumah. V'chitema, maybe you will say, well, there's a big difference. What we're talking about over there in the Mishnah is where we superglued the shayish down to the top. So it became part of an actual covering that's permanent. So it was a tzipui omeid, basha'enkein. The tzipuyim that were used in the Mishkan, in the Beit HaMikdash, were not plating in the typical sense, we call it plating. Rather, what they did was they actually made a thin gold kli into which the wood was placed. But that's not the same thing. And then you've got essentially a wooden thing that has a removable cover of gold, like the aron. There were three aronot, right? One was gold. Into that you placed the wood. And then you placed another one of gold with a little piece covering the edge. And then you would have essentially a gold-covered aron, but it was a gold-covered aron not by being gold-plated, but by being encased in gold. It's a big difference between encasing and plating. Maybe that braita that was talking about the shayish was talking about attaching the shayish the way we attach formica. Glue the whole thing down. So now we talk about a formica counter, of course. It's a formica counter. We're not going to relate to it as a wooden counter. We never have anything to do with the wood again. But if we would just have a cover of formica, then we talk about a wooden counter. And here's the cover. You take off the cover, put on the cover, bring a new cover. It's not a bad idea, actually, instead of using all that expensive shayish. I'm sorry. So in any event, maybe that's the difference. Maybe in that case, it would not be considered to be the kli of the tzipui. It would be considered to be the main kli, which is inside. And maybe that's how you'll explain the difference. That's why we're treating the shulchan as wood. V'chitem, you'll try to tell me that perhaps that's the point. Kan b'tzipui omeid, and kan b'tzipui she'eno omeid, right? No, because the problem is that Reish Lakish actually asked Rabbi Yochanan about that mishnah, the shulchan and the dolbaki, where over there it's clearly saying that, depending on which shita, but had it been completely covered with shayish, it would definitely be called shayish. So Reish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, is that dafka where it was glued down so that the shayish is actually now the permanent top of the kli, or even if it's eno omeid? Is it talking about that you also use the shayish to cover the edges? Or would it be that way even if you just had a top that was shayish and the edge is still wood? Or does the whole thing have to be covered completely? So is it talking about b'shechifa et levaz v'zin or b'shalochifa et levaz v'zin? So the pinot, are they covered or not? Obviously it's a lot cheaper just put that in a slab of formica, not to go through all of the problems of trying to get it smooth at the edges and cover around the edges. But would that be called covered? I mean, we're looking at the wood, maybe. In that case, we'd only look at it as a formica top counter, but not a formica counter. And Rabbi Yochanan told it makes absolutely no difference. Lo shna tzipui omeid, lo shna tzipui sheino omeid, lo shna chipat levaz vizin, lo shna lo chipat levaz vizin. And therefore, something's very strange. Because if that's the case, we don't have a shulchan eitz. We have a shulchan zahav. And all of this discussion of Rish Lakish and HaShulchan HaTorah, it's all moot, because obviously a piece of metal is going to be the Kabbalah Tumah.
Even if it has
to sit. So, yeah, any type of metal is being, that's been used as an instrument for use is a kli. V'chitim, and maybe you'll tell me, well, it's not necessarily. It's clearly going to be a function of the value of the wood. I mean, yes, I understand a typical folding table that you cover with shayish is going to be bottled to the shayish, but you're talking about atzei shittim, I mean, this is imported wood, very, very fancy wood, and very expensive. Maybe even covering it with gold, people would still relate to it, not in terms of the gold, but they would relate to it in terms of the atzei shittim. So v'chitim atzei shittim ar-chashive v'lo batle. Well, now that itself is a machlokas. If you're talking about the China import wood, you know, that axle good stuff, forget it. There clearly we're going to be mavatalit to the covering. Avo kli masmas, or mismas, I mean, some learn that it's the name of a place, and others learn it's the name of a type. Those are choshev, and they wouldn't be batal. So, okay, that's a solution. That is a solution. Actually, works out well, according to Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish, after all, is the one who's insisting that the Shulchan is made out of wood, and therefore the only way to explain Shulchan HaTahor is that we lifted the Shulchan. So it's very consistent, but we don't find anybody arguing about the Shulchan in this issue. So, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that it really doesn't make any difference about the Chashivut of the wood, what's important is, what is the surface of the kli? And he says, even kli mismas are batle. My ikalamemar, what are you going to say about this problem? Is the shulchan wood, or is the shulchan gold? Ah, it's wood. You know why? The Torah calls it wood. That's why. It's wood, because I say so. So in other words, even though normally we may have given it the dinim, if it were in your kitchen, we would have given it the dinim of gold, but the way in which the Torah is miyaches itself to that shulchan, and that's really what defines the shulchan as the kli in the Beit HaMikdash, it really doesn't matter what you think. And there it says, interestingly enough, as part of Yecheskel's tour, was HaMizbeach Eitz Shalosh Amot Govoa Orkosh Shtayim Amot Umikzu Otlo V'orko shtayim amot umiktzotav lo v'orko v'kirotav eitz v'yedaber elai zeh ha-shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. What in the world? You say first the Mizbeach is eitz, then you say, well, I didn't really mean the Mizbeach, I meant it was a shulchan. What is going on with that? But anyway, it does say, this is the shulchan lifnei Hashem, let us call it, I dub the wood. And therefore, it's eitz. But what is it? Patach v'mizbeach v'siyem v'shulchan. Why? Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tavar. This is a remez. And as we're going into Galut, and this is a remez for the Beit HaMikdash that will come into being only many centuries later. So it's teaching us, and indeed, a mizbeach is a shulchan. Bizman she Beit HaMikdash kayam, mizbeach mechaper al adam. Achshav she'in Beit HaMikdash kayam is also giving a remez to Yecheskel. Shulchano shel Adam is the thing that's mechaper on him. So by bringing aniyim or orchim to his shulchan, or the Marsha points out, Tzmashrin Avot, that the issue is the learning on the shulchan. It turns what it is that you're doing into an act of aveda and mizbeah. Chavitei kohen gadol lishatan varichatan vafiatan bifnim v'dochot et ha-shabbat. Tchinatan v'akadatan eno dochot et ha-shabbat, because klal amar Rabbi Akiva, kol melacha shefshar la'asotam erev Shabbat like tchinatan v'akadah, eno dochot et ha-shabbat. V'she'i efshar la'asotam be'erev Shabbat, dochot ha-shabbat. So this is why the tchinatan v'akadatan eno dochot ha-shabbat. What's wrong with doing the grinding of the flour, the sifting of the flour before Shabbat? Kol ha-menachot yesh ben ma'aseh kli bifnim, ve'im ben ma'aseh kli bachutz. Shtei alechem orchan shiva tvachim rochuban arba tvachim v'karnotehem arba. The arba etzvaot, which is the shear, typical shear of the tefach, we'll talk about that, which etzvaot. Lecha bapanim orkan asarat tvachim rochuban kamishat tvachim karnotav sheva etzvaot. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, just shalotite zadad yahad. Ben Zoma Omer, v'natata l'shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid. Lechem panim means shiulo pinim, or pnim, or ponim. Ha'shulchan orcho asrav rochubo chamisha. Lechem apanim orcho asrav rochubo chamisha. Noten orko keneged rochubo shulchan. Kofel tvachayim emerch zemikan, tvachayim emerch zemikan, nimtza orko memale the entire rochubo shulchan, div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, no, the shulchan actually is measured by the aman amatayim of the typical shisha tefachim. Therefore, the shulchan was 12 tefachim orech, roch bo shisha, v'lechem aponim, yes, I agree with you, orcho asara roch bo chamisha, noten orcho keneged roch bo, in which case only two are sticking out from either side, which were kofel, tefachayim mikan, and it also leaves us another two tefachim, revach be'emtza, which is very useful. K'tei she'etei aruach min ha'shevet b'hem. Abba Sha'ul Omer, well, that was very useful for putting down Shnei B'zichei Levona too, on the Shulchan. Omru lo, why on the Shulchan? Arei kvar nemar, v'natata al ha'ma'arechet levona zaka. Omar lam, yep. And it also says, v'alav matem en ha'shev. What a mess that would make. V'arba'at snifim shel zahav ha'yushan, mefutzalim miroshehen. Shayu somchim behem, shnayim l'seder zeh, v'shnayim l'seder zeh, v'yasri v'shmone kanim, kechatzi kana chalul, arba'a asar l'seder zeh, arba'a asar l'seder zeh. Lo sidur kanim v'lo netilatam dochet ha-shabbat, ela nechnas mi'erv shabbat v'shomto, notun lo orko shel shulchan. Kol ha-kelim shayu b'migdash, orkan lo orko shel bayit, except the oren, as we'll see, the oren was definitely the other way. It was Orkan L'Roch Bo Shabbayit, and we had a question about the menorah, which we're going to discuss. Kol ha-menachot yesh b'hem ma'aseh kli b'fnim. Shalom et Rebbe. How do you know that? Amar lem arei yomer v'yomer elai, zeh ha-makom ha-shi yevashlu sh'makonim, asher yofu et ha-mincha, levilti otzei el ha-chatzer ha-chitzona, which means that the mincha is dum yedei ha-shem v'chatat. Just like the Yashem V'chatat can only be boiled in a kli, af mincha nami, even though you could do it on a baker's board, it's too in a kli. Ha'shulchan orko asara omer Rabbi Yochanan, l'divrei ha'omer, tvachayim u'mechza kofel, it would turn out that the shulchan is bekadish chamisha asar tvachim l'mala. L'divrei ha'omer tvachayim kofel, it would turn out that the shulchan is bekadish shnimasar tvachim l'mala. But you're ignoring the kanim. And the kanim shikuyim mishakim hu. What? The whole point of the counting was my time. If you're going to do that, you might as well forget the whole thing. So stuff come up, shilachem anyway. Well, the migbele purta. Okay, so what about the purta? But given lavi tefach lo chashiv lei. Well, what about the bezichi? Not bezichi, we're begave de lechem, ave yatve, ula bahari lechem ave kaime, so it didn't take up extra height. Well, what about the kronot? The kronot were bent into the direction of the bottom of the lechem, kayifle, and then the next lechem was put directly on top of that whole piece, and lechem alayon nachle. Well, what about the mizgeret on the bottom of the shulchan, in which it must have been sitting? Well, you could say, k'man diomer mizgeret olamata ita, and even according to k'man diomer mizgeret olamala ita, it may well be that the mizgeret was parkude having marpakda, mefarkada, and the lechem was inside of it. And begave the shulchan, ave yatav kiritanya. Rabbi Yossi omer lo haya sham snifim. It was the misgeret of the shulchan that was ma'amedet the talechem. Omer lo, how is that? The misgeret was under the top of the shulchan. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Well, according to this, the divrei omer misgeret olamata ita, that would prove that a tabla hamitapechet would be tamia. The divrei omer misgeret olamala haita, then it wouldn't prove anything, because then tabla mitapechet would still be a question. Wait, you're saying that the Shulchan is Bar Kibulei Tumah? How is that? Isn't it a creates a Suila Nachat? V'chol creates a Suila Nachat ima Kabel Tumah. You know why? Dumi the sak be'inan, ma'asak mitaltel maleverekan, afkom mitaltel maleverekan. No, the Shulchan was mitaltel maleverekan. What? Yep. Get ready, Shlakish. Get ready, Shlakish. Ma'irich tiva la Shulchan ha-tohor. I mean, if you tell me it's tohor, it's got to be able to be tamei, right? How could that be? Malamit shemagbiino tolo le'arigalim, umar imbo lechem, omrim lehem. Re'u chibatchem lifnei ha-makom. What is that? Kediv Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Dom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, neis gadol na'asa b'lechem ha-panim, siluko kisiduro, shemar lasum lechem chom, b'yom hilakecho. But anyway, wouldn't it be kabatuba? Forget about wood needing to be moved. Why isn't it made out of gold? The tzibui is gold. Milo tzana shulchan v'adulba ki shenifchatu o shechipan b'shayish, even if shir ben mokam anachat kosod, would still remain tame. Rabbi Yudah omer, mokam anachat kosod is not enough. Then, mokam anachat kosod shir in. But lo shir lo. Ramachite makan b'tzibui omeid. Kam b'tzibui shir eno omeid. But Reish Lakish actually pointed that out. To Rabbi Yochanan asked them, are we talking in the Mishnah only about a case where it was really glued on, or was nailed on, at Tzipoy Omeid? Or are we talking about at Tzipoy She'ino Omeid? Are we talking about where the edges were covered, or where you left the edges uncovered with formica or gold? V'yom Marle makes no difference. Lo Shana Tzipoy Omeid, Lo Shana Tzipoy She'ino Omeid. Lo Shana Chipat Lavaz V'zin, Lo Shana Lo Chipat Lavaz V'zin. Now, maybe you'll try to tell me the shulchan remains eitz despite the gold because it depends on the value of the wood. So, of which the shulchan was made, that's not necessarily true. Because, yes, according to Reish Lakish, it's true. Reish Lakish, Demar, Lo Shana, Bekli Aksal Gus, Aboim, Ibinat Hayam. Actually, with a name like Aksal Gus, was probably coming from Russia. Avo Kli Masmas, or Chashive, Velo Batli Shapir. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, says klimas mas nami batli ma'ikalam eimar. Well, the shulchan is defined by eight in the Torah. Chmona karya eitzem is nemar hamizbeach eight shalosh amot gavoa, and it's orko shtayim amot mikta otavlo veorko vekirotav eight vaydaber elai zeh shulchan asher lifnei Hashem. So anyway, we see that it's called eight. But wait a minute, you start calling it a Mizbeach, and then you call it a Shulchan, which is it? Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Tafayo, this is teaching. Mizmanch Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Mizbeach Mechaper Al Adam, V'yachshav She'in Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Shulchanor Shel Adam Mechaper Alav. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent daf. Quite a different ambience, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy. On that side of the Ramadan, Chavitei Kohen Gadol, Lishatan V'Arichatan V'Afiyatan B'Fnim. As opposed to the other Menachos that we've been discussing, the Shtei Alecha, Alecham Aponim, where we said that the Lisha and the Aricha could be B'Chutz, the Chavitei Kohen Gadol were entirely made B'Fnim. Now there's a number of possibilities as to why this is so. Rashi says that because the Chatzi Yisorin was used only, if you recall, for this specific purpose, to be Mechalek, the Yisorin of the Kohen Gadol, therefore there was no reason not to be Mekadesh to Chatzi Yisorin. Because the other Klei Yavesh, if you want to hold it, the Midas Yavesh were Lodus Kadosh, it's because it was common use, and people, anybody who came in, would need to. They always try to do this, but they figure if they can be marked, she'll need, then it's the turn into the men's donut and coffee club. Can you move that? Yes.
Yes, sir. There we go. Again. We have a straight view of Savage Ash. Yes. So the Chati Sorain was used specifically for this purpose. So who used it? Only the Kayanim that were being Isaac and the Chabitim. The normal Isorin of a Mincha was used by anybody who would come in. He would take an Isorin in order to be made at his Mincha. So there was a Chashash, maybe he would be made to it. We didn't want to be Mekadesh, the clay Hayavish. As if we hold like that, Man Yomer, as long as another possibility is that because of the high proportion of oil, as we saw by the Chavit, they used the Bisa and in order to mix it, and so on. It's basically lach. If that's the case, then it needed to be in a klisharis, because the minhag halach were in this kadash. Therefore, the entire thing needed to be bifnim. That banana got you a special cappuccino.
Really?
Yeah, because you were not feeling it.
Thank you so much.
You'll be doing the dishes in this house for a few weeks.
No coffee, no.
Tachinatan, now because of that, they're also Derech HaShabbos, of course. We saw before Lamai Svidarshan from the Pasuk, the Derech HaShabbos, they would be possible before. You can't cook them before because of the Nikli Sharis, it would be possible Lina. But Lamai Svidarshan, we were Derech Pasuk, you recall, earlier in the Sefer, that told us that it needed to be done on Shabbos. Tachinatan Vakadatan, however, the grinding of the flour and the sifting of the flour, that wasn't Derech HaShabbos. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kol Melacha Shev Shalas Otah Me'erev Shabbos in Derech HaShabbos. Whatever you could do before Shabbos is in Derech HaShabbos. V'Shiyev Shalas Otah Me'erev Shabbos Derech HaShabbos. If it can't be done before Shabbos, so over here it would be Nivsal. It has to be done on Shabbos. And the klal also is that it works out that Kol Hamenachot Yesh Be'Maaseh Kli Bifnim. Ultimately, all of the menachos had something that was done bifnim, even if it was just the atiyah. Something was done bifnim. It's not clear why that necessarily has to be true. The Gemara is going to actually derive it from a pasuk. The aim there, ma'aseh kli b'chutz. We would never use a kli sharis, of course, b'chutz. Shtei alechem, getting now, these are specific mishnayos, by the way. We sort of are prone to put it all together here. Shtei alechem. Orchan shivat vachim, v'rochuban arba'at vachim, v'karnoteha arba etzba'ot. They said the shtei alecha was 7 tvachim long, it's close to 70 centimeters, quite large, 4 tvachim wide, and the kronot were 4 etzba'ot. Now the Rambam seems to learn that the kronot means the thickness. Why do you, thickness? Because if you look at it from the edge, so we call it kronot. However, Rashi learns that kronot means literally kronot. Notice that they were built, this lechem was built with pieces sticking out, pieces of dough that would stick out for 4 tefachim. I mean, 4 tefachim, for 4 etzbos. Lechem aponim orchan asara tefachim, rochon hamishat tefachim, lekarnosav sheva etzbos. Here the kronot with 7 etzbos. Lamaisa, it's almost impossible because of the Gemara later on to learn that there was nothing additional that was sticking out by the lechem aponim, which we'll see soon. So that these 7 tefachim, the 7 etzbos that were jutting out, seem to actually be jutting out over the face of the lechem after we bent the lechem in. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shelo Titeh, we know that Rabbi Yehuda, united him, Simonim, he was big on Simonim. So he says you have to remember Zadad Yahaz, so that you have 7, 4, and 4 for Shtei Alecha, and 10, 5, and 7 for Lech HaBar Panim. This is enormous, basically. You're talking about a Lech that is this big, a meter long, half a meter wide, and then you have these kronos jutting up on the edges. This is a major piece. Ben Zeymeimer, v'natzata al ha-shulchan lechem panim lefanai tamid, lechem panim. Now, here, there's a number of different ways of learning. Lechem panim, she'ayulo, now some learn this means, she'elo panim, that it should have an inside, which means that the outside was bent up so that there would be a toe, so to speak, to the lechem. That's how many you learn it. It's a problem later on. We'll wait till we get there. Don't think of matzah the way Ashkenazim think of matzah. That's a cultural prejudice. Matzah is nice, thick challah. That's right. It has nothing to do with the thickness of the matzah. It only has to do with whether it was allowed to... There's Ashkenazim, they make these rikikin because they're worried that they don't know, maybe if it'll be too thick. The Gemara talks about it, is the shear of matzah. After that, we begin to be gracious, ready to then bake quickly enough.
How do they do it without burning it?
What, matzah?
Yeah. I mean, I see what happens. I guess it's just a slower oven. I'm just,
It starts to cook. It's okay. It doesn't matter how long it takes to make a matzah.
Yes, it's right, too.
No, but how do they keep it
burning? Okay, that's why we say teflon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the question is, so what is the meaning of this lechem ha-panim? Pnim, it has edges. Panim, that's two sides face each other. Rashi has a different use of pinim. Very interesting, because it's a marker for the Hebrew, modern Hebrew usage of the word pin. Pinim. If everybody thinks it's just a translation from the English. However, a pin actually means a piece that juts out. In which case, pinim, which would be the other lashon of here, would be a reference to the grunas. Very interesting. Which may account for the current usage for sexual organ. I think they also use pinim, similar to the English penis. It also juts out. So pin. That's one possibility, pinim. The other possibility that the Rambam is fascinating is ponim. But ponim is a shiela ponim harbe, apparently, was his curiosity. Shiela ponim harbe. Yeah, it's the way we, a pen is a face. Mm-hmm. Multifaceted is ponim harbe. What's the pshat? And it's like this, a normal lechem basically has only pinim, ponim at the top, ponim at the bottom. Here you have to take into consideration all these additional dimensions. It has a very, very large surface area. If this part goes up, you talk about its ponim to the south, and it's ponim to the north, and it's ponim on the bottom, and it's ponim on the south, and it ends up having six different measurements that you have to give as opposed to a normal lechem. So Menele calls it ponim harbe. That seems to be his girsa, at least in the Pirshei Mishnayos in this Mishnah. So how can we have a number of different approaches? So I'm just finding the place again. Yeah, Ben Zayim, I'm even a sata la shulcha lechem ha-ponim lefanai tamid lechem ponim shiyulo ponim or pinim. Ha-shulchan, now, if we take into consideration that the length of the shulchan is 10 tochim. Now, of course, that's only according to the Man Yomer who holds that when it says amasayim, it's a reference to ama of kelim that are chomesh. Because if the ama of the kelim is also shisha tochim, then of course amasayim is 12 tochim. But this is a machlokas. So the Tanakhama over here says that the amasayim or cho is a reference to ames hakelim, which were 5 tefachim. Gives us a total of 10 tefachim for the length of the shulchan. Rochvo, chamisha tefachim. Again, ama rochvo. If the measurement of the kelim was with the ama shel chamisha, so it turns into 10 by 5. Now, if you take the lechem ha-ponim lengthwise and place it across the width of the shulchan, so it will now take up half of the length of the shulchan, because it's 5 wide. And of course, it'll be jutting out either side 2.5 tefachim, because it's only. The shulchan is 5 wide. And the lechem is 10 long. Mm-hmm. So 5 of it covers it, 5 of it covers the width, mm-hmm. half the length. Its width covers half of the length, the other lechem will cover the other half of the length. So that means that the shulchan will be totally covered by lechem, there's no room on it for anything. And now we've got 2.5 tefachim sticking out on either side over the air. That was the part that was bent up, not literally bent, obviously, when you baked it in the tefus. That was the shape of the tefus. So kol tefachim, that's what it comes from, that's to be kan. And then in the tefillos before you baked it, that was its shape, 2.5 tefachim jutting up on either side, nimtza or kol memalei rochbo shel shulchan, which means that the length of the lechem, the width of the lechem was memalei entirely, the length of the lechem was memalei entirely the width of the shulchan. Between the two of them. Well, you baked it up. You baked it up, so it was, it fit onto the shulchan exactly. Rabbi Meir, who argues, and he holds that the Amma Shokalim is exactly the same, it was a single Amma, Rabbi Meir Sheet is, of six Tvachim. So Amma Saim Archo translates into Yud Beit. The Amma Rachbo translates into Vav Tvachim. And the Lakam Aponim, we don't argue about. That's a given that the Lakam Aponim are 10 by 5. So now, the rochav of the lechem of five will not cover the two lechem, won't cover the entire shulchan. There'll be two tefachim in between the two lechems. So, and this is the common picture that we have of the shulchan, is that the lechem fits under, because this is how we pass it, that the Amma Shokalim Mishisha. So then what you do is, notein orcho k'neged rochubo shel shulchan, in the same way. So the length of the lechem now, sticking out on either side, and it's along the rochav of the shulchan. According to this, however, you only have two tefachim sticking out on either end because it was six wide, the shulchan. So tefachayim mikan and tefachayim mikan. And then, of course, on the top of the shulchan, you have two tefachim and a rebbe of bemza, because 5 and 5 is 10, but the length of the shulchan was 12. And that area was important, kidei shteyah ruach ben hashemet behem, because remember, we were anxious to have a shulchan that would allow the lechem to remain fresh. So the area in between served as a way of allowing the air to circulate freely around them, so that it shouldn't be become now, even though of course the Derech Beis weren't concerned at all, but James said about the Beis, and so the Mela to avoid mold growing on it. So we get that there. Abba Shaul on there. Abba Shaul says the space in the middle was important for a different reason. That's where the bezichim were put, on top of the shulchan. Amalo, how could you say that? It says to put al hamarechet. Al hamarechet means it's on top of the lechem. We talked before that you have to make a space for it. According to Man Yomar, that the lechem was shaped like a canoe. So your claiming was put on the shulchan itself.
He said all awesome is next to it, right?
Oh, and he answered them, as Dava tells us. Amalem hare kvar nemar, the alav mate menashe. I suppose you mean that means we take the mate menashe, we stick it on top of the other shradim. It means next to next door. Is mate menashe, it's the same thing, the alav. Next, the marek, it was the bezich elavayim. Now, there were also arba'at nifim shel zahav, ayusham. And of course, if according to Man Yomar, that it's talking about a teva prutza, then these nifim were standing on the ground. Mufutzalin, if you hold like the Man Yomar holds the canoe shape, the svina roketes, so then this was standing on the shulchan itself, on the inside where the edge of the boat was going up. It was underneath the round shape of the canoe, the word of the Sneefin that was stood there, and they were supported by the lechem, according to the other Mandiyama. Huh? And they were mefutzalimi roshehem. They had these little places in which you could slide in the kanim along at the distance between each column. In other words, at the top of each column there was space to insert now the kanim for this chala above. Shnayim v'seder zeh v'shnayim v'seder zeh, two facing each other of these snifim for each one, and you had a total of esrim v'shmona kanim. You had 28 kanim there. The kana was essentially actually a half kana. It was kechatzi kana chalu. It was made out of gold, but it was the shape of a reed that had been split into two, and 14 were used for each seder. Arba'as al seder zeh, the arba'as al seder zeh. So that what we would do is the bottom lechem would sit on the shulchan, and then you had the additional, the next four lechems would sit on three kanas apiece, which gives you 12 kanas. And the upper lechem, because it didn't have a lot of weight on top of it, pushing it down, because it was alone, only required two kanim that were slid into the pitzulim. So that you had a total of 14 for each seder. However, the seder hakonim and the netilat hakonim were not docha Shabbos, incredibly. So that to insert these konim in order to put in the new lechem, but to remove the konim from the pitzulim in order to remove the old lechem, were not docha Shabbos. Question is, what? I mean, what the klal is? What's the issue of it? It's worse than that. It doesn't need to be any malacha. The shaila is, which is it? The rabbanon is it? The klal. Now, from the Gemara in Shabbos, the mashmos is that this was a relic of a time in which muktzah applied to malachas that were of heter as well. Klisha malacha la heter. That didn't need to be used on that day. So, and lamais, they were mavato that afterwards. They were mate that afterwards. But that this was the din originally as muktzah. Others, we'll talk about it in a moment. Others learn that it was a problem because it was near a kibinyan. And therefore, it wasn't a din of mukta, it was a din in order that people shouldn't come to be baina, yes. And the shaila is that this also is an important point because we know that generally there's a klal ein shvus b'mikdash. But they weren't geyser the shvusim in the mikdash. So those who learn that the issur was as binyan, so they say like this, where do we say ein shvus b'mikdash? That's where the shvus wasn't gozer, because of the chashash that someone will come to do a malacha. But where a shvus is because, there's two types of shvusim. The shvusim that are there in order to accentuate the shvisa of Shabbos, such as muktzah. So that people should be, I said, moving things in that field and whatever they would do on Shabbos, use their time for on Shabbos.
See it, as to, what muktzah was so you wouldn't have it see it.
That's the Rambam.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's, according to Rambam, all shvusim are the same. He's not mechalik in shvusim. But those who are mechalik are mechalik between those shvusim not to come lidei malacha. And there, we would say, yeah, shvus b'mikdash.
Lemaisa,
there's kashas on that. There's many kashas on that. It's not really a very satisfactory solution. Basically, Tosfos says that it's hard to know where. We definitely find times that they were going to shvus b'mikdash. You have to define each point what was the reason that this particular shvus was important. Yesh dvarim b'go over here. There's something strange about this story. The kanyan, it's something to take into consideration in your further searches in searches for meaning for the term.
So they took the lechem upanim off.
Oh, so what did they have to do? What did they have to do? Ella. Nichnas mi Erev Shabbos. What they would have to do is they would go in Erev Shabbos b'shomto, they would slide out the konim that were there, and then they would put them down. Menotno la'orcho shel shulchan. They would put it in that middle space, which doesn't exist according to Rabbi Yehuda. So again, we have a stam mishnah here following the shita of Rabbi Meir. It's a good thing we have a doctor on call.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Do your thing, doctor. Yeah, what's going on around you? It looks like you have to come all the way from California just to yield it up, Yomi.
Thank you.
It was really sick. Yeah. So, and that you would do before, and then you would put in the lechem one on top of the other, and then, after Shabbos, you would come in and fix it. So you lift up the lechem and slide in the konim. You'd put the new lechem on without it. It could, but it was in order for ipush. So the konim weren't for standing, the konim were for ipush.
So you have to take them out in order to get the lechem? You can't take the lechem off?
Yeah, without
taking it apart.
Well, we'll see that the lechem was indented in order for the konim to be inserted. We're like the little indent. We'll wait till we get to the Gemara. Oh yeah, right. Look, we've already seen the stuff about the extensions on the lechem to fit the konim. According to the Mandi Amar, all the Sinner Mekedis. kol hakelim shayu b'migdash orchan la'orchor shel bayit. The general rule is that the kelim that were in the mikdash were set up in such a way that the length of the kli followed the length of the bayit.
Is that north
south? The bayit went from east to west.
As far as the length of the...
What am I telling the positioning of the
kli? The length. In other words, if you have something that is longer than it is, then it's wide.
It's telling that that's
which, how do you position it? Now, the truth is, this is a little strange, because the Orion was not that way in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Neither did the Farish, except the Orion was. The Mizbeach was square, there wasn't a gap. And the Rama Paskins that the Menorah was suffering Orion. So, what are these gentlemen? That's what they're referring to before. So the question is whether it's a reference to the other Shulchan, because there was another Shulchan that was also did to put the Lechem on the way in, or maybe it's a reference to the additional Menorahs or Shulchanes of Shlomo, but then there's a machlokes as to whether they were there b'chlal in the second Beis Hamikdash, or they were dafka Shlomo's kelim for the first Beis Hamikdash. But anyway, it's a very fascinating statement. Kol HaKelim Shayu B'Hamikdash, it isn't even clear what those Kol HaKelim are. Kol HaMenachot, says the Gemara, Yesh Ben Maaseh Kli Bifnim. Shalom Es Rebbe. Zuminayim. Where do you get this from? That there has to be a Kli for the Mincha. Where does it say that? That there needs to be making a Mincha in a Kli Sharis. Amar Lem Harei Leimer. Vayom Re'elai, Zeh HaMakom Asher Yevashlu Shem HaKohanim Et HaHasham Et HaChatat. So we have our modern vision of an architectural malach, you know, this guy comes around, he's got a slide rule on his belt, and he's got a little laser measure on his ear, and so on. Rather strange looking malach. But anyway, he appears to Yecheskel, and you see that malach according to the expectations of the times. And he shows Yecheskel around, and he's telling Yecheskel, this is the first tour guide that we really have in the Torah. Here's the place, Zamakom Shivashlu Shamakom, those ancient priests. This is where they would cook the Asham and the Chatas. I can hear Mamashim speaking in Barnea's voice. And Asher Yofuet HaMincha, and where they bake the Mincha. Zevotiotzi Ela Chatzera Chitzona, they couldn't take it outside into Chatzera Chitzona, that would be Yetzer, and so on. Explains it all to the Chesko, if he's some kind of Marit Sobiyin. And then, obviously it's meant to be a Limud Ladere, so we learn out from it. Mincha Dunyat Hashem V'chatas. Ma Hashem V'chatas Tunim Kli, Ad Mincha Nami Tuna Kli. That was the point that he was making. That in the same way that there's Dina Kli for the Hashem V'chatas, there's no possible way to boil an Hashem V'chatas V'yavash without a Kli. So Mamela must be that you can do the same for a Mincha. Hal Shulchan Or Kol Asara, Om Rabbi Yochanan. But did they all mitzvachai mumechza? We had this before. If you hold according to Rabbi Yehuda, so then two and a half on either side means that with the six chalas, the Shulchan is mekadosh chamisha asar tefachim lamala. That means that the kedusha of the Shulchan continues upwards to be mekadosh things, all the way up 15 tefachim above its top. The Divrei HaOmer, and according to Rabbi Meir, who holds that it was six tefachim wide, which leaves only two tefachim on each side. So then you had six times the two. So nim kofel shnayim nimsa shulchan mekadosh shneim asar tefachim lamala. Now the question is, what about the kanim? We're ignoring the kanim over here. What about the kanim? Veika kanim. Kanim shekui mishekula. They had grooves built into the challah in which the kanim would fit. My time, mishum yifushay vasan. The reason for the whole point, I thought, that the kanim are there is for what? That there should be air circulating. So I don't get it. So then if they sunk it in, then what do we need the kanim for? Then just do without the kanim. I mean, now you're going to have... Anyway, so stuff coming out this lesson. So now... You're not going to have now any air circulation if you make grooves. They're not going to put it out. It was a little bit uplifted. So you're back to the questions. And who burns us? And what do you do with that piece?
Time 6.
Fine, but given the Lavik Tefak will crush it. This doesn't equal a Tefak in the answer. Okay, we're not much of it. But Lamaisa the Shulchan is Bekadosh higher than that, because you needed the space between the Lecha that was represented by the kind of, but it was a very interesting question by Benyus. What's the kasha then? On Shabbos, when they were Mekadosh the Lechem, there were no kohanim. So what are you telling me, that the Shulchan is Mekadosh L'mala? It isn't Mekadosh L'mala. There was no kohanim, and it's only the height of the Lechem.
No, but when you put them in later...
You don't need the Kiddush. The Kiddush is a one-time event. No. Why would they have to be Mekudosh L'mala and Shulchan, since the Shulchan is Mekadosh L'mala? Brilliant question. Okay, another thing to stick in your pants. By the way, this business of given la b'tefach l'chashiv way is very important for us to consider Lagabi Daman de Yomar, who holds that the tzura of the lechem was kisvina rekeres. Because obviously we're going to run out of space if we're using a circle and not a square. If the shape is circular, then it's going to be sticking up higher. But it would be if we were using all of that additional area on the edge, right, in the shape of a square. What happened to that? And so then, what do we have in Machlokas Amorai as to whether it's Gesvina Rekedes and the Shitas in the Mishnah say perish not? This is very strange, no?
Is that why this one, this picture from before, the Shenzen?
It still doesn't help. You can't create the extra space. That's part of Tesis, yes. It's in that Tesis, the discussion. So what we'd have to say, this Lamaisa would be, okay, how to learn the corner stuff. What's the thickness of the lechem? Obviously, that's going to play a role in this whole thing. In other words, maybe you'd use the same amount to make thicker lechem, and not have it as long or something before you could have mandioma. But then, I mean, both mandioma and given the shear of the lechem is 10 by 5. So you'll have to come and maybe it did stick up higher, but since it wasn't a tefach, we didn't talk about it. But certainly, altogether, the 6 chalas were a tefach plus, that's for sure. Okay, those are the issues that those are discussing. It was a fascinating thing. But so we have some little leeway. Even though we have a tefach, so okay, we have that leeway we have. What about the bezichin? The bezichin you said are on top, so according at least to the Mandiomer Argus, so it means you have to include that area. Rashi says, I don't know why the heck you have to include that area, since the bezichin are clean, so then why do you need to include the Kedushin of Shulchan? Why, what's wrong with the Kedushin of Bezichin? He doesn't answer. He says, I don't understand this. Rashi says, I don't know why. The Tosafot says he doesn't think that's a problem at all, because Lamaisa, the position are on the floor, then they're not in the cottage. The Tosafot brings it says Gufa. I mean, we had it like Abedi, the city of Kemetz. Can you be Kemetz from the floor? So if the position aren't somewhere, it would be the equivalent. Because remember, the position are the Kemetz. Mm-hmm. You take the bezich, and it's the kvitza from the ma'arach. So if they would just be in midair, so to speak, then I would be like taking a kemetz from the ground. So that the kemetz has to be somewhere. So it has to be on the shulchan. So if it doesn't have the kedusha of the shulchan at that point, so then you wouldn't be able to be mekamis, so to speak, by taking the bezich. That's what that's explained. So I don't think Rashi's problem is a problem. Fine, so now what do we do with why don't we include that extra space? No, because that money almost that the bezichim are begavi the lechem out of Yasin. The bezichim are put into the lechem, so the mayor is no, as we saw earlier, there's no problem.
Into the lechem,
yeah. The lechem goes up, and they're within that height of the top lechem. Because remember, the lechem goes all the way up, and we're including the part on top, so okay, so the bezichim are inside. Frag the Gemara about Ika Kronos. How in the world can you learn that the Kronos are not Kronos? What about the extra size of the Kronos? Says the Gemara. And the Gemara answers, the Kronos Lagavi Lechem Kayeh. The Kronot were bent in.
So therefore?
They didn't stick up out of the edges. Therefore, they don't take up more space.
We were thinking that they did.
We were thinking that they were sticking up.
Higher.
Yeah, like a sort of in the bear shape. When you have Kronos sticking up, you have to take up other seven etzbos for the Kronos. No, those seven etzbos were sticking in. The mice into the Lechem. Huh?
If this is the lechem, this would be the
Kronos,
they're bent in towards the lechem, and
then
they'd be taking space of the lechem itself.
Yeah.
So then how are
the airspace? Airspace, airspace. So it was bent into the airspace between the two ponim. The lechem alayunach, and then the other lechem was put directly on top of the Kronos also. So there's the whole Kronos were bent inside underneath the next lechem. The Aika Mizgarto. How about if you hold that there was a Mizgeret for the Shulchan, and we'll see there's a Machlokas. The Torah says there's a Mizgeret. It's not clear where that Mizgeret is. Is the Mizgeret underneath, or is the Mizgeret sticking out on top? So wouldn't you have a problem if you put the Lechem down? The Mizgeret was an additional Tefach. If the Mizgeret was on the edge of the shulchan, it's still going to bump into the challah, so we'd have to hold the challah tefach higher. So how exactly did we do that? Why do we need to include another tefach? Well, I guess it's going to Madiyama Mizgarat Olamata. There's a Madiyama also Mizgarat was beneath the top of the shulchan, and then you could flip the top of the shulchan over on top of the Mizgarat in the direction, which is important later, as we'll see. The man Yomim is Garza Lamala. He said, no, oh, fine, okay, what about going the other man Yomim way? I mean, it has to work out. We don't have to take into consideration only one sheet here. But could he have him a far today? Basically, even if the Mizgarat is Lamala, it doesn't have to necessarily be in the way of the Lechem, because it could be jutting out slightly to allow the Lechem to be inserted. So when it hits the bottom, it's hitting the place where the Mizgarat is touching the top of the Shulchan. So really, the lechem sat on top of the shulchan, and the mizgeret was around the bottom lechem. So a tefach of the bottom lechem was surrounded by mizgeret, according to that mandiyama, which obviates the need for the snifim, of course. Because then you don't have snifim there if you have a mizgeret anyway around the shulchan.
So the lechem was sticking out too?
Not the lechem, the mizgeret was sticking out.
It would fall his own.
No, it's metal. It's attached. The lechem, the gavet the shulchan aviyas. The new course of Abandion, the lechem was actually sitting on top of the shulchan. Kiratanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lohaya Shom Sleeping. Elamizgato Shoshokan, Mahmedet the lechem. In fact, says Rabbi Yossi, you didn't have sleeping, at least for the bottom part. Because you had the mizgeret around the bottom, and the mizgeret itself could be Mahmed the lechem. So if it was sticking out of it, you inserted the lechem in between, and then the mizgeret supported the lechem on the bottom.
That's for the mizgeret lamala.
All for the mizgeret lamala, correct. So they tie it to Rabbi Yossi. No! Mizgeret lamata ita. So here we see the machlokas of where the mizgeret was. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, an interesting point, says Rabbi Yochanan, is that for divrei ha'omer, if you hold that mizgeret lamata ita, then that proves that a tabla hamitapechet smeya. This is a fascinating issue. We know that pshute kliates are not in the Kabbalah. The shulchan, if it had a mizgeret lamala, was not pshute kliates. Because then the mizgeret created a beit kibul, a tefachai, and then it was basically like a serving tray that has an edge and on legs, so that serving tray is in the Kabbalah. But if you hold that the mandiyama and the mizgeret was lamata, so what you have basically is a flat piece of wood, you can flip over, turn the other way too. So then, lechora, you would think that it wasn't a kabel tumma. Lamaisa, the shulchan wasn't a kabel tumma, so we'll see for the pasuk. Which proves that a tabla, a long piece of wood like this, is considered, either the Travis is considered to be a Beit Kibul, because that is its Beit Kibul, since it's big enough, can hold things in the middle. So Mamela, we don't consider that to be Pshute Kliyetz. There's also another involved issue over here, which is Kalim of Eitz that are Mishamesh Adam, and they are Mishamesh Shimushe of Adam. The klal is that they are Makabel Tumah. So in other words, if you have something, an example would be, you have, let's say you have a ladder. A ladder is not Makabel Tumah. Why? Because even, it doesn't have a base kibul. Even though it's Mishamesh Adam, but it's not Mishamesh the Shimushim of Adam. It's not Mishamesh the physical needs of an Adam. He'll use it as a tool. But tools are not Kalim unless they have a base kibul. On the other hand, something like a Shulchan, which is used by an Adam, and it's Mishamesh the Adam directly for Shimushim of Adam. He eats from it. So if he eats from it, then it's considered to be a direct usage of an Adam. It's not a tool for something else. It's his own. Okay. Another example would be a Menorah. A Menorah is Mishamesh Shimush the Adam, but it's not Mishamesh the Adam. The Adam doesn't need to touch the Menorah and so on. He gets the usage of the Menorah while it's lighting for him. But it's not like Mishamesh him, it's Mishamesh the light for him. So that's not Makabel Tumah, and so on. That was it. Yeah. Again, these are dinim of eights. Specifically dinim of Nagia eights. Okay. And all kinds of long discussions about hangers and the hooks. No, it's not so prescient. It's possible that it just goes into the whole question over here, whether this is Nogea only at Takonat Rabbanon, or whether it relates to the Arisa, and whether even according to Madhyama Pshute Kliyetz is not Matami, it would be Matami Mid Rabbanon. And then there's yet a third issue. And the third issue is that any Kli that is Roy for sitting on, since it's Shaykh to be Matami, the Mishka of Maisha, so it'll become tummy because of that, not because of normal dinim of kalim, but because of midrasis.
Even if that's not.
And over here, look, correct.
Even though you wouldn't sit on the shulchan.
Well, okay. I mean, that's the question of amod v'nas and lachteinu, where you're using it in an opposite way, but that's not what you're doing over here.
I'm on a surfboard.
Oh, now we're thinking young. So that's what we need.
How about one?
What? No, he's crazy. Okay. You think it was only mountain climbing?
No.
It wasn't only mountain climbing. It gradually becomes clear where he's holding.
Richie
would definitely be proud.
He would come over here and set a snowboard.
But it comes out, according to this, that it's a D'oraisa. Right, because Rabbi Yochanan is saying, since the Torah says if you hold like a man yomim miskato lebat, and the Torah says the shulchan is mekabel tumah, so you see that video raisa, it's mekabel tumah. Now the shaila is why? Maybe it's not, as I said, he suggests, he says maybe it's because it's not called pshute kliyetz, since it has a base, that is its base key. You put the bread down on it, it's the same thing as having a base key. But if you hold like the other man yomim, that the Mizgadno Lamala Haisa, then you don't know. You can't prove anything from the Shulchan. Tabla mitapesa tibor elokha, you'll have to bring another raya to. So what are you saying, Rabbi Yochanan? You're saying this lot of Shulchan bar tibulay tuma? You're saying that the Shulchan was Makabel Tumah and that was a given? How could the Shulchan be Makabel Tumah? It's a creates ha'asri l'nachasu. Forget about the issue whether it has or it's pshute creates or not. Even if it would not be pshute kliyetz, it wouldn't be makabel tumah, because the din is that we learn out from sak. My taima, tumah the sak bein, and my sak mitaltum olivereka, and akom mitaltum olivereka. The whole marker of tumah on kliyetz is that it's put together with sakim. Sak is only mitame, then it can only be used if, as a kli, if you're going to be mitaltum with it. If it's too heavy to move, and it'll just rip if you try to move it, it's not a kli. From there we learn that kliyetz that has a permanent position and isn't picked up is not makabel tumah. This is the mantra for the other old sugya. Answers the Gemara here in the Chagiga, the same sugya. Shulchan nami mitalter malavarekam. The shulchan also is mitalter. This is what happens when somebody knows shas after being in the Daf Yomi for so many years. You can't. Of course, you can't tolerate the Gemara's questions anymore.
Just we've had this. Just yes. The last few months we've had this Gemara.
Yes.
They picked it up.
Yes, you're right, 100%. It's true. Yes. Well, we're getting there. 1 second, Rabbeinu. I know it gets to the point where I'm not. Listen, you bring the power of all of us against me at every moment. I don't know anymore what to do. I'm going to have to get somebody to watch my back. Kidder Reish Lakish. The Amr Reish Lakish might receive Allah Shulchan HaTohor. Why is it called a Tohor? If it's calling it Tohor, it's got to be that it's Mekabel Tumah. It's a Mechlal Zutame. And when the Lamed must teach us, therefore, Shemagbim Otolo Leregalim Marim Bolech. There's got to be a point at which we actually lift up the Shulchan, show it to the Ole Aragolim, the Omrim Lem Reuchi Batchem is the Amakom. And we show them, why do we want them to see this? That they should see how chaviv they are at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gidibur of Yeshua ben Levi, the Omer of Yeshua ben Levi, Meis Gadol Na'asav Alechem Alpanim, Sivuko Kisiduro, that the Alechem Alpanim was the object of a constant meis, and that the removal of the Alechem Alpanim, after a week, it was just as hot as when it was put on. Shinema Lassum Lechem Chom, the Yom Yilakha.
Not just fresh.
Well, Tosafot points out there's a little bit of a problem according to the Bandi Omer who holds that the Tanu is not Mekadesh, so then the Afiyah of the Lechem was on Erev Shabbos, which means that when we put it on Shabbos, it's already gold. So it doesn't help very much that it should be Lechem Chom. So there you'd have to learn to, there you'd have to learn that, no, but the Kisidura, even the Kisidura is a given, it's on Kisidura. And the whole riot, the Omi Lako, I mean, otherwise, how do you know it? So there, Lachera, you'd have to say that it means that it's as fresh as when you put it on. The problem is, how do you see that it's fresh? The Rajva says that the way that you could show it was that it actually, part of the mace was it actually had steam rising from it to show that it was freshly baked challah. But Lachera, if you hold like the other one, the Omer, it wouldn't have had steam rising from it by the time it comes on Shabbos. Others say that, look, it's not, I don't need to see it myself. Already if they're showing me and they're telling me that, you know, we're here, we can feel it, makes an impression on people. But in Akhenami, it doesn't mean necessarily everybody in the audience is able to see it. Also, there's a shaila whether this means that they would see it from where they were, so that they pulled aside the parochet in order to be able to allow them to see the
shaila.
No, but they'd have to lift it up to show it. Or whether, as the Rambam says, the guy in the menorah, you can actually take it out and move it around. In the menorah, you could take it out and lay it in the Azara. It's a whole, you know, big question on the Rambam. But in any event, then the Shaila, so it, this gets back to the question of Sila Kamachamais. Is the Lechem Lefonai Tamid? Is that called Lefonai Tamid? If I'm going to move it out, isn't that its Makom? It involves all the question of what the definition is of Tamid, which was my focus, as we saw. Yeah, there's a lot of issues that it raises. It's a very sweet issue. The taper clase is the Gemara. Wait a second. The whole discussion is moot. The shulchan wasn't eight. The shulchan was gold. I mean, it may be that it had underneath it was wood, but I'll prove to you that you go according to the covering. So, in which case, this whole discussion doesn't have any meaning. The reason is the kabatuma is because it's a metal table. Milot's not. Don't we have now the Perush and Mishnah that says a shulchan va'adulbati shenifchatu. Oh, shechifan b'shayish v'shir be'amakom hanachat kusot tmeim. You see from here that if you have a shulchan or a serving table, which had a hole in it but still worked to do the normal serving, or let's say they were covered now with marble. Now marble's not makabel tumah, but this was a sort of fancy marble. They had places for coke cans in the marble that they had. They dug out so that you would put the can directly on the table through the marble, and then the marble would just be around. That way, if you were flying or surfing at the time, the marble would support the coke can. Yeah. So the din over there is, since the keses are put directly onto the wood underneath, so it's still tummy. But you see, that in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Makom Hanachat Chatichot, that's not enough. Now, fine, but the bottom line is Shir in Lo Shir Lo. If you didn't leave any place, it would be completely covered by stone, by marble. It wouldn't be Makabal Tuma, because marble is not Shachar Makabal Tuma. So what does that mean? It means you go according to the cover. You don't go according to what's underneath. So the opposite case would be, if you had a shulchan that's made out of eitz that isn't the kabel tuma, because it's also the nachas, so what's the difference? It's not a kli eitz, it's all covered with gold. The exact opposite of the case here, it's all covered with marble. Marble's not the kabel tuma. Gold is the kabel tuma. Maybe you'll tell me, well, it's different. I mean, marble's a thick slab. The marble stands. Even if it doesn't have the eitz, it would have been a separate piece anyway. By anything, the gold over here, just the gold that's covering the wood, but it wouldn't be able to stand up on its own, so maybe in that case... there's other problems. So therefore, it would be batal to the shulchan, but that's not true, because Abaminei Rish Lakish Mir Yochanan. Rish Lakish answered Yochanan about that very point. Whether this din of tzipui is dafka b'tzipui omei, or is it even b'tzipui she'en omei, that we go according to the tzipui? Is it b'shechipat levaz v'zin, or b'shalochipas levaz v'zav? Is it in a place where the edge was also covered? Or do I see that the whole thing is, that it's only a veneer, I can look at the edge and I see that the edge wasn't covered, and where the other says it makes a difference? Loshna tzipui aymed, loshna tzipui eno aymed, loshna chipat levaz v'zav, loshna lo chipat levaz v'zav. So then that's the case. How are you going to get out of this? The shulchan was definitely metal, according to this. Because Rabbi Yochanan says it doesn't matter how it was that it was covered. The chitin, and maybe you'll tell me, well, okay, that's just normal wood. The shulchan of the Mishnah was actually shitim. I mean, that's heavy duty stuff, man. I mean, you could probably stand up against a marble with that kind of thing. So probably that wood is so chashuv that it's not going to be bought to a tzipui of something simple like gold. So you'll tell me that atzei shitim or chashiv v'lo batle. That's not so pashut. Because then, Michal Reish Lakish, indeed, according to Reish Lakish, who says that this halacha of chipan, referring to the chipan b'shayish, which was the opposite case, the shayish removes the Kabbalah's tuma. So he says that Sloshano Ella Bikli Aksagus, Haboyim Medina Sayyam. These imported junk tables and the Romanian tables, what it's talking about. So over there, if you put Shayish over it, it's but Mavato the table. But if you have the decent wood, Kli Masmes, they're the kosher. And over there, they wouldn't be bottled to the Shayish. You could tie it, okay, so I'd say Shitim is kosher, but won't be bottled to the gold. They're chopped, but according to the Yochanan, who holds doesn't matter, and he says it always goes according to the tzipui, even klima masmin. These are places, Tosfos says, the Aksagus. I thought you would tell me.
Masmin. I can tell you about
Aksagus?
About acacia trees. Acacia.
Yeah, okay, that's good. But
we only have two in Eretz Yisrael, an African tree.
Only two actual trees.
We only have two species. There's 20 different. They come from Africa. They grow in a very, very wet climate, get very, very big. The ones that we have here have adapted to our... You know, you see them in the
Negev.
That's what they built the Mishnah.
Yeah, from. That's crazy.
But in Africa, they're big. Really big.
As big as like the little prince?
It might be a big one.
Yeah, if you get enough water, it'll grow big.
Yeah,
but I see them in Africa. They're really big. Strong.
Oh, Rabbi Yochanan, Yomar Klimas Mez Nami Batlis, Michael and Neymar. According to him, you can't answer that the shulchan is made out of Atashitim since Kashuv. He said even a Kashuv wood is going to be bottled to the Shayah, certainly to the gold. Answers the Gemara in Ahinami. But the shulchan is defined as eights in the Torah. That's the problem. And once the Torah defines it as eights, it doesn't matter that normally the din would be that the eights is bottled. And it's giving it a din of eights. Whatever the din is of eitz, clay eitz, that's the din. And shine shulchan. Therefore, the shulchan is different. Derachumona karya. The Torah refers to the shulchan as an eitz. Shlema hamizbeach eitz shalosh amos gavoya or koshtayim amos miktzot tavlo V'orkol v'kirotav eitz. V'yadaber Eli. Now this is a classic tour guide problem. The guy's looking at him his back and he starts saying, and this is the shulchan. You know, now that happens all the time with these tour guides. Zeh shulchan v'shashel v'shnei Hashem. Ask the Gemara, come on, I mean, a malach can't be just a regular tour guide. I mean, pasach b'mizbeach v'siyim b'shulchan. Says Rav Yochanan of Elazar, Damit Abar Bizman, should base on Migdash Kayanus, a very famous Chazal, as long as the Beit HaMikdash was around the Mizbeach of the Kapora for another. Achshav, Shein Beit HaMikdash Kayam, Shulchano Shel Adam, inviting the poor to the table and sharing with them, that's the Kapora for another. But in any event, meanwhile, we see how Mizbeach Eitz actually means the Shulchan. So the Shulchan is defined as Eitz.
Just a discussion whether it's Orchim or Neem.
Orchim or Anim?
Right, the argument is the Orchim and then the Sheep.
I don't know if it's a discussion. I mean, everybody says it's a get of Chasadim. By the way, Tess points out, there's no such Shear. What is a Mizbeach Eitz Shalosh Arim? I don't care if it's a Mizbeach, I don't care if it's a Shulchan, it doesn't make sense. How can it be three? So you suggest maybe it's a reference to the Sneifim. Maybe the Sneifim with three. All this guy, why would the Sneifim be three? Every word over.